it's partly an effort to regain a sense of control, that if I think that I could have done it differently, then maybe there's a way for me to prevent this happening. I can regain a sense that I'm in charge of my life, but it doesn't make room for anger on it. I think our anger is much greater, and we want to have the person angry, and sometimes we will gently try to express that there's room for outrage here, but we have to go with where they're at. And many of them find a certain fatalism or a religious kind of coming to terms with this that moves them in another direction than anger. But there's others that anger has to be worked through. Forgiveness can be a huge issue, too, that follows from the anger, but certainly the anger has to be dealt with.
This gentleman and then this
well, you talked about one kind of torture victim, but you know, if you look at the statement that was issued about 3 weeks ago by the National Council of Catholic Bishops, they were very clear in saying that that these torture incidents always produce two kinds of victims, the one who's subjected to the torture and the torturer as well. And it strikes me that that's an aspect of this problem that doesn't seem to get discussed as much. I mean, you know, we have the case of Eric Fair, who wrote that column in the Washington Post in which he talked about withdrawal, destruction of family. He says, as he sleeps at night, the victim is always with him. And then we have Elisa Peterson, who committed suicide. You want to say a little bit about that?
Yeah, I had that in my notes. Some of the what's coming out of the studies now in Iraq of veterans, which I think has some bearing on this, is finding that there is greater PTSD in some instances in the perpetrators of trauma than in the victims of trauma.